I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. On today's show, I'll speak with New York Times best-selling author, thriller novelist, nonfiction writer, TV show creator, comic book author, and the creator of the Ordinary People Change the World children's book series, highlighting heroes throughout history. The books are for children, and they inspire the new PBS kids show Xavier Riddle and the Secret Museum that can be seen on KVCR-TV weekday mornings at 10. Brad shares some of the historical figures he writes about, why he decided to write the books, and talks about the importance of teaching children that they too can change the world. Here's my conversation with author Brad Meltzer. Welcome to Lifestyles.
Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to be speaking with you. You've done so much in your career, and you've written so many books that I would love to talk about. But our focus for this interview is your children's series, and I call them I Am. Some of the individuals that you've written about include, I'm going to list a few here, Abe Lincoln, Billie Jean King, Rosa Parks, Helen Keller, Amelia Earhart, Jackie Robinson, Jim Henson, Jane Goodall, Harriet Tubman, George Washington, Walt Disney, Lucille Ball, Albert Einstein, and a slew of others. But your newest books are I Am Anne Frank and I Am Ben Franklin. Why and how did you get started on this journey?
It's because I wanted to give my kids better heroes to look up to. I was tired of my kids looking at reality TV show stars and people who are famous for being famous and thinking that that's a hero. And I thought in the work I do on History Channel or in my thrillers, I was like, I have so many better heroes for them. But the interesting part was, is when I did that for my kids, I was like, I'm going to give them heroes who are based on kindness and leadership and compassion and character, that thing that is missing so much today, as we know in society. And I gave my daughter, I said, here's Amelia Earhart. She's amazing. She flew across the Atlantic Ocean. And you know what my daughter said to me? She said, big deal, Dad. Everyone flies across the Atlantic Ocean. She was not impressed at all. And then I told my daughter, and this is a true story, that when Amelia Earhart was 7 years old, she built a homemade roller coaster in her backyard. She took a wooden crate, she put roller skating wheels in the bottom, she shoved it to the roof of her tool shed, put two pieces of wood down the side, came flying down the side, rolling through the air. The whole thing crashes. Amelia Earhart gets up and yells, that was amazing, or whatever she yells at the time. But my young 7-year-old daughter at the time was like, tell me that story again.
Oh.
And that's where, as a series, the Ordinary People Change the World series was born. That's where we did I Am Amelia Earhart. We did I Am Abraham Lincoln. As you said, we did I Am Rosa Parks and Albert Einstein. But my son, who loves sports, I said, you know what? Here's a real sports hero. Forget a millionaire athlete. Here's a guy named I Am Jackie Robinson.
Mm.
And my daughter, we did I Am Lucille Ball because I wanted my daughter to have a female entertainment hero who isn't just famous for being thin and pretty. That Lucy stood for the idea it's okay to be different. Something that we don't celebrate anymore, but we should celebrate here in America, is that we're all different. We started doing this wonderful series. We did Jane Goodall, and when we did Helen Keller, we put real Braille into the book. The pages of the book go black when she goes blind. We put real Braille in there so kids can say, here, feel these dots. This is my name. My name's Helen. What's your name? And I watched my 17-year-old son, who's obviously too old. These are young, illustrated biographies. They look like kids' books, and they're for ages, you know, 4 to 10, 12 years old. But my 18-year-old son was like, Dad, this one's actually good. And I was like, actually? But something, I'll tell you this, is something amazing happened with our books when the 2016 election was approaching. Hillary and Donald Trump were arguing every night on television. And two of our books started selling more than any others.
Hmm.
And they were I Am Martin Luther King Jr. and I Am George Washington.
Hmm.
And it was that parents and grandparents on both sides were tired of turning on the TV and seeing politicians. And what they wanted to show their kids were leaders. And we all know there's a huge difference between a politician and a leader. And I love the fact that people now use the Ordinary People Change the World book series, the I Am book series, to fight back against the cynicism they see in America. I love that they use them to build libraries of real heroes for their kids and their grandkids, their nieces and nephews.
You know, what's really interesting, when I was looking over many of the different books and bios that you've done, I was surprised, well, I'm a huge I Love Lucy fan and a huge Lucille Ball fan, that you chose Lucille Ball.
Yeah, it really was because I was looking for an entertainment hero, and entertainment heroes are hard because they always wind up being famous because they are thin and pretty and petite. I just thought, I don't want to give that to my daughter. Like, I'm just feeding her the nonsense she's seen everywhere else. And I was like, who's different? who's completely different. And Lucille Ball, what I loved about her, you know, my daughter used to do dance when she was younger, and Lucille Ball started by doing dance. They told her, you'll never be a dancer. They said, you'll never be an actress. And Bette Davis was in her studio, and they said, you got to be more like Bette Davis. And Lucy just never apologized for being who she was. And you see, you know, one of the things we always do in the book is we don't just show you when they're famous. We show you their failures. So you see young Lucille Ball getting kicked out of her acting classes. And when she's so poor that she's eating people's leftover food in the diner because she can't afford it. And they tell her, you'll never make this. And she just says, I'm not letting anyone stop me. You see her grandmother, who was really strict and thought that, you know, she wouldn't even allow mirrors in her house because she thought it would lead to vanity. And Lucille Ball used to learn how to make funny faces in the reflection of her face in the bus driver's window. And I love the fact that my daughter can now have that lesson, that it's wonderful to be different than everybody else and to laugh at yourself and enjoy that. And everyone always says, oh, that's a wonderful history series, but the Ordinary People Change the World series is never about just history. It's a character series. It's a value series. So on the back of each book, it tells you the value we're trying to get for your kid as I'm trying to get for my child, which is on the back of I Am Amelia Earhart, it says, I know no bounds. On the back of I Am Abraham Lincoln, it says, I will speak my mind and speak for others. And on the back of every single book is that value, whether it's kindness, whether it's humility, whether it's perseverance, because that's what we want our kids to have. You know, the newest book is I Am Anne Frank. Mm. Why did I pick Anne Frank? Because anti-Semitism is at an 40-year high. A study was just released that said millennials don't know basic facts about the Holocaust, and we've just come off a time period where a presidency has pointed fingers at Muslims or people of other religions, people of other skin color, anyone who's different. And I thought, you know, we are a country starving for hope right now. So how do I teach hope to my kid? Who better to teach than Anne Frank, the little girl who hid from the Nazis for 2 years?
Yeah.
I want my kids to know that even in the darkest places, you can always find light, because that's what hope is. It's a fire that burns within you, and when you turn it on, nothing can put it out. My favorite story in I Am Anne Frank as a book is that when Anne Frank is in the attic and she's hiding there, her only view is this chestnut tree. She has one window. If she goes too close to the window, people will see her, so she has to stay far away from it. Her only thing she can see is this chestnut tree outside the window.
Right.
In the winter, the leaves fall off, and she watched them fall off the chestnut tree. In the summer, they grow back. In the spring, they grow back. When Anne Frank dies, they preserve the house where she lived. They try to preserve the chestnut tree, which they do,
right,
until 2010, when the chestnut tree is blown over. But here's what happens, is they took the saplings from the tree, and they started planting them all over the world. Mm-hmm. And today, there are new trees, Anne Frank trees, blooming all across the globe, stronger than ever. And I want my sons to have that lesson. I want my daughter to have that lesson, because that's what hope is. And you tell Anne Frank's story to your child, and it's like planting a seed that makes them stronger and that makes them more resilient from learning her story. She becomes a part of their story, and they, of course, become a part of hers.
I want to reintroduce our guest is author and creator Brad Meltzer. I want to jump over to Benjamin Franklin, which I really enjoyed. But the fact that he, you know, his whole story and where he started on the printing press and his brother. And I learned a lot about Ben Franklin. I mean, sometimes when we think about Ben Franklin, we think about the kite and that's it. And there's so much more to him. And, of course, our government history.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. We always know the cliches, right? If I woke you up in the middle of the night and I said, you know, who's Ben Franklin? You'd literally scream out, kite, electricity.
Or $100 bill.
$100 bill. Abraham Lincoln, you'd say, you know, big top hat, freed the slaves. But we make a huge mistake with our heroes in this country. What we do is we build these grand monuments to them, and we chisel them out of granite and concrete, and then we build these monuments, and we worship at their feet, and we do them a huge disservice. Because everyone you look up to, whether it's Dr. King or Rosa Parks, Ben Franklin, Amelia Earhart, whoever it might be, had moments where they were scared and they were terrified and didn't know they can go on. And when we build these monuments, they stop becoming people. And our kids, they don't care about some black and white dead figure in a history book. But when you show that Ben Franklin, as a little kid, used to do science experiments where he'd fly a kite long before his famous kite flying days and would tie it around his stomach, then jump in a lake to see if it would carry him. My kids go, wait a minute, tell me more about that. That's fun. Now he's just like me. When they find out that when we did I Am George Washington, that George Washington loved to dance, of all things, that he was bad at spelling, but really good at math, but loved to dance. my kids are like, oh, now he's a human being again. He's not the dead man on the $1 bill.
Right.
For Ben Franklin, for me, again, as you said, we all know the kite flying. But I really cared about Ben Franklin is that Ben Franklin's greatest experiment that he did was the experiments he would do on himself to be a better person. Ben Franklin absolutely knew that the very best way you change the world is you got to start with yourself. Mm. And I want my kids to know that. I know we have to teach them how to have good fights with the right enemies, but my God, we have to teach our kids to also take responsibility for their own actions. And I love that Ben Franklin stood for that. And I love the fact that he stood for the idea of the free press. We've watched an assault for 4 years on our free press, and we forget that the founding fathers protected the free press to stand up to those in power and call attention to them. And I love pointing out in the book that Ben Franklin, when he ran his newspaper, he didn't just run his own opinions. He would run opposite opinions from his own, too, because that's how you're informed. Only a fool thinks they're the smartest person in the room. The smartest person in the room is the one who says, I have so much more to learn, and I want my child to have those values as well.
Brett, I want to talk a little bit about the new PBS show, Xavier Riddle. It's a PBS kids show that can be seen on PBS stations across the nation and on our sister station, KVCR-TV, weekday mornings at 10. It features three kids, Xavier, his sister Yadina, and their friend Brad. Coincidental that the friend's name would be Brad?
Well, we call him in our house the most handsome cartoon character ever created, Brad. No, they turned me into a cartoon. You know, if you read the Ordinary People Change the World books, if you read the I Am books, I am actually hidden in every book. Our artist, Chris Eliopoulos, our amazing artist. You know, the reason kids love our books is because he has an art style, and the show does too. It's Chris's art style that is like a mix between Charlie Brown meets Calvin and Hobbes. So he's turned me into this kind of like ball, Where's Waldo? But I'm hidden in every book. But they turned me into a character and put me on the TV show. The way the show is set up is Xavier, Yadina, and Brad, they'll have every episode a different problem. For instance, they are being bullied, let's say, on one episode. So they go back in time. They have a time machine in their basement of their museum. They go back in time. They meet Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks teaches them how to deal with the bully. And then they come back to the present day and use that lesson. That's every episode. So we go back in time, meet Rosa Parks, you meet Julia Child, you meet Golda Meir, you meet George Washington, you meet Abraham Lincoln. Every different episode is basically the Ordinary People Change the World books come to life in a cartoon show. And I love the fact that we all know for children's television, we launched the show on November 11th last year, 50 years and one day after Sesame Street premiered. So no pressure on us. You know, one of the books we did for the I Am series is we did I Am Jim Henson and we did
yes.
I Am Walt Disney
yep.
for my son who was creative. I wanted to have a book for my youngest who's very creative. When I was 5 years old, people like Walt Disney and people like Jim Henson and Mr. Rogers taught me that you can use your creativity to put good into the world. And that is all we're trying to do with the I Am series and with Xavier Riddle. It's me trying to use my creativity to put good into this world. And I love that every episode we get to put a little bit more into the universe.
I like the show. It kind of reminds me when I was young and I was a kid and I was watching Schoolhouse Rock, learning things about our history or government.
Oh, my favorite.
But it didn't feel like it was educational back then, right? And that's kind of how Xavier Riddle feels. It doesn't feel like it's educational, but it's fun and they're still learning. And adults can watch this and learn from it as well. And I love Yadina's sense of humor.
No, I think it's because we put time into the characters. What you love, I think, I hope, the most about it is the characters are fun to watch. Yadina wants to grow up to be the first girl president. Xavier is kind of a mess and like an almost ADHD, tripping over himself. You know, such a creative thinker that he can't even slow himself down. And Brad, the little character Brad, is who the show is made for. He has delusions of averageness. He's just worried. He's scared of everything. They go into the woods and they're like, Xavier, do we have enough insurance? Like, he's just always panicked about everything. And sadly, that's what our kids are today. They're anxious. We're anxious. We're in the age of anxiety. And to have him go back in time and be able to say, you know what? These other people did something and I can do it too. And why? It's the same theme as the books is these aren't the stories of famous people. This is what we're all capable of on our very best days. And when kids realize, one of my favorite stories, I have to tell you this one, is when we did I Am Rosa Parks, a friend of mine, he's white, his daughter is black, mixed race family, and they adopted her. And they were reading I Am Rosa Parks. And as you said, there's a timeline always on the last page. But also in addition to that timeline, as I'm sure you saw, there's a real picture of the real hero, not the cartoon one that's in this children's book. But we always put a real photograph. And they got to the last page and they saw that real picture of Rosa Parks in the book. And his daughter said to him, wait a minute, this really happened. This really happened. And he said, and suddenly he was having a full-on conversation about race with his daughter, which is, as you know, again, a scary conversation to have. He said he'd never had it before, not because he didn't want to have it, but he was, again, scared to mess it up. He just didn't want to mess it up. And I love the fact that people use our books. I see it on our Twitter and our Facebook all the time to have these conversations because kids suddenly realize this is what happened to this person. And you know what? I can do it too because they did it. And there's nothing more empowering than that.
After a quick break, I'll continue my conversation with author Brad Meltzer. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Brad Meltzer. He is a best-selling author and the creator of the Ordinary People Change the World children's book series. The books are illustrated by Chris Oliopoulos. How did you come to work with Chris?
Yes, so Chris Oliopoulos is a cartoonist who works for Marvel Comics. He did Spider-Man and the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and the Avengers. But what I loved about him is because he has this kind of Calvin and Hobbes meets Charlie Brown style.
Yes.
Any cartoonist can do cute, and a good cartoonist can do funny, but it takes the best cartoonist to not only do that, but to also do heart. And I knew that if I was going to have someone to draw I Am Amelia Earhart, that you had to fall in love with Amelia Earhart. You had to see her as someone you were cheering for and rooting for. The cover of I'm Anne Frank is, we're on our 22nd book in the series now, maybe the best cover he's ever done. And listen, I want my kids off their phone. I want them off their screens. But the only way to do that is you have to show them something better that they're going to want to look at. And the reason kids love our books is not because of me. It's not because of the writing. It's because of Chris's beautiful art. And kids go, oh, I love this. And they want to read and see more of it. And we met, of all places, on Twitter. I say to this day, it's the only good thing to ever come out of Twitter. But we met because we were both history nerds and we just found each other. We both loved comic books and we became friends when he saw the TV show I was doing. And I just said, you know what? I know this is crazy, but can you draw a picture of Amelia Earhart for my daughter? I want to show her something. And my daughter loved it. And I was like, we got our guy.
And it does have that comic book feel as well when you have the little bubbles and speaking parts and stuff. So it is kind of comic book style. Why did you or he decide to make the character the older self in the books? Throughout the whole time. Do you know what I mean?
That's right. And let's talk about it because this is obviously radio. And so we need to explain. If you look at the cover of every book, you'll always see that the hero of the book, and I Am Amelia Earhart, Amelia Earhart is always 7 years old. And I Am Abraham Lincoln, he's 7 years old, complete with a top hat and a beard, 7 years old, a little boy. And when we did the first book, when we did Amelia Earhart, our editor said to us, well, when she gets older, can you make her get older? And I said, I can have Chris draw, but watch what happens. And Chris drew it. He actually drew one where Amelia Earhart got older and looked like an adult. And every kid that saw it was bored. Then it was about someone who was not like them. And it's our subtle, subversive way of saying to every child, you know, it's funny, all adults always say, why do you keep them as kids? You know who never asked that question? Children. Mm. Children do not ever ask questions because they like that they're just like them. And when you see a hero who's just like you, you're empowered. It's why Superman is so effective to all of us. The most important part of the story has never been Superman. The most important part of the story is Clark Kent, because we're all Clark Kent. We all know what it's like to be boring and ordinary and wish we could do something beyond ourselves. And when our kids read the Ordinary People Change the World series and they see someone, you know, a little 7-year-old Jim Henson or a little 7-year-old Anne Frank or Marie Curie or Gandhi or Neil Armstrong, we did I Am Neil Armstrong. The first letter we got was from a little girl who said, I'm going to be an astronaut one day after reading this book. Hmm. And I love that. Yeah. And she just saw this little 7-year-old astronaut floating in space. And she was like, I can too. And that's what we want when you approach the I Am series, is that your child and your grandchild, your niece or your nephew says, I can too.
Brad, I want to ask you about your two books, Heroes for My Son, which I'm not going to touch about, but I do want to talk about Heroes for My Daughter. Tell me about the 8th grade English teacher, what she did or what you learned from her that you would reference her in this book.
So when I was in eighth grade, my English teacher changed my life. Sheila Spicer was her name, with three words. She said to me, "You can write." And I was like, "Well, everyone can write." She said, no, you know what you're doing. And she tried to put me in the honors class. I had some sort of conflict, so she couldn't switch me. She said, "Here's what I'm going to do instead. You're going to sit in the corner for the entire year. I want you to ignore everything I do on the blackboard. I want you to ignore every homework assignment I give. You're going to do the honors work instead." And what she was really saying was, "You're going to thank me later." And sure enough, 10 years later, when my first novel came out, The Tenth Justice came out, I went to her classroom. I knocked on the door. She said, "Can I help you?" I said, "My name is Brad Meltzer. I wrote this book, and it's for you." And she started crying. And I said, "Why are you crying?" And she said, "You know, I was going to retire this year because I didn't think I was having an impact anymore." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "You have 30 students. We have one teacher. She's a hero forever for me for that. I my life was changed by my English teacher." And to every teacher out there, thank you. Thank you for what you do. You're not all your students will come back, but I am proof that you change lives every single day. Again, the theme of the books, right? Ordinary people change the world. That is my core belief because that's how my own life has been.
You know, I'm tearing up here listening to that story because it's so important that teachers do make a difference and that she saw in you and found a way to make sure you achieved that. And we all know with different kids, they all learn, we all learn differently, right? And sometimes I hate when someone says you can't do that or we don't do it that way. Well, if that brain of that child learns that way, then focus on their strengths and go with that. And she knew your strengths and she knew what you can do.
So. Oh, she saw, right? And she knew I needed the help. You know, Chris Eliopoulos, the artist on the book series, when he was little, he was so shy. And he would come home and he didn't want to talk to his mom when something went wrong. So his mom would say, "Well, what's went wrong?" And he would go up to his room upstairs and he could only communicate by pictures. He's an artist. So he would draw the picture of what happened at school in a rudimentary cartoon format. He'd fold it into a paper airplane. He'd go to the top of the stairs and fly the airplane down to the bottom. His mother would wait at the bottom and she'd open it up and see the picture and know what her son did. But what she realized is, this is how he's communicating,
right?
This is how he's communicating. And for us, we realized, you know, we did a book on Albert Einstein. And when we did I Am Albert Einstein, a lot of people in the autism community have really singled out the book because it's all about embracing that it's okay to be different. Right. The book opens up, I Am Albert Einstein's opening lines are, "Ever been called weird? Ever been called different?" And we all are weird and we all are different. And that's not a horrible thing. And I love the fact, you know, what the series tries to embrace is, every hero that we do is the best hero for somebody, not everybody, but for somebody out there.
Right.
It's going to be the most important hero. And you got to, for creative kids, we did I Am Walt Disney and we did I Am Jim Henson. For my daughter who loves animals, she loves our dog. We did I Am Jane Goodall. It's our number one selling book beside I Am Amelia Earhart for girls is because they just love their animals and what you can do and change the world with your love of something as Jane Goodall changed science. And for sports, we did Jackie Robinson. You know, for science, we did Marie Curie and Neil Armstrong. There are all these different kids, and you got to find what your kid's magical superpower is and feed it. And the Ordinary People Change the World series is designed to help you feed it.
My guest is best-selling author and children's author, Brad Meltzer. What do you want to write about next? Who will be your next person? And can I make a suggestion?
I will always, first of all, take suggestions. I want to hear them. I'll tell you who we're doing next. In the series is Frida Kahlo. Is coming, and she comes out in March. We do I Am Frida Kahlo. But who did you have in mind?
I was thinking, because I'm passionate and I advocate a lot for autism, was Temple Grandin. Do you know who she is?
Oh, first of all, Temple Grandin's coming on Xavier Riddle, so we are all up over that one.
Okay.
Let me tell you my favorite. There's an incredible story just about the autistic community. We had a mother who wrote to us, her autistic son loved I Am Albert Einstein. And she said to me, "I want to thank you for that book." She said, "But I want to tell you that my son actually died. He passed away. And I want to thank you because reading Albert Einstein was the last good memory I have with my son before he died." It's every parent's utter nightmare, the worst of the worst, right? And I look her story up in the newspaper. I track her down. I find out she's going to the school to read the book to her son's former class. So, of course, we surprise her and we send books to the entire classroom and they're all autographed and she's all excited. And she writes to me a year later, I knew she was pregnant. She had told me she was pregnant. She said, my new child is born, Brad. She said, "But I want to tell you, we named him after two of our heroes. So I want you to meet Finn," who she named after a character in Star Wars. She goes, "But I want you to meet young Finn Bradley." And this series, the Ordinary People Change the World series, is a gift that I never realized that we were giving ourselves. And to have this woman tell me about her dead autistic son and to be able to give me that gift because she felt like we gave her a gift is just something as a writer, in my craziest imagination, I could have never made that story up. I could have never invented something as beautiful as that reality that happened to us just by trying to do what I was trying to do for my kids and realizing that every parent wants that for their kids.
Yeah. Wow. That is quite a story. I have one question for you. What is the best thing you can do with your time?
Love. I'm going to give you the first thing that came to my mind. I think that's it. I'll tell you what, every hero that we've written about, every single one, they're doing what they love. That's why they changed the world, right? Jane Goodall is doing what she loves, which is working with animals. Anne Frank, you know, is doing what she actually loves, even in the midst of crisis, is writing.
Right.
Amelia Earhart is flying. Every hero, whether it's Marie Curie doing science or whether it's Jackie Robinson playing baseball, they're doing what they love. That's how you change the world. You do what you love, and it will have an immeasurable impact. I firmly believe that.
Brad, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you about your projects, your writing, and your children, and Xavier Riddle. We had to cut the interview down slightly for time, but to hear the full interview and to learn more about Brad Meltzer and his children's book series, Ordinary People Change the World, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. You'll also see a link there if you would like to order one of four books and support public television. His books inspired the PBS Kids show Xavier Riddle and The Secret Museum, which can be seen weekday mornings on KVCR-TV. KVCR-TV is also presenting a family night of television viewing for one night only on Monday, December 7th at 6:30 p.m. with a special episode of Xavier Riddle and The Secret Museum, with me as the host. Join me with your children or grandchildren on KVCR-TV, Channel 24. That's our show for this week. To hear any of our past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. You can also listen to Lifestyles on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez on your streaming service and take the show on the go. If you have a topic or an idea for a segment, leave me a message at our website, kvcrnews.org/lifestyles. Thanks to all who helped to make this show possible, including Sharina Waugh, David Fleming, Sean Houlihan, Andrew Caravella, and executive producer Rick Dulock. Our theme music is provided by Ethan Bortnick. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.